What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 19 of our weekly tech podcast here at Think Computers. We'd like to kind of geek out and talk about everything going on in the computer hardware tech world. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and, of course, get anything from Amazon, that helps us out and helps keep this podcast going. With me this week, I have Jack, who's typically not on the podcast. He's been on once before, I think, but he's here this week. So what's up, Jack?
Hi, how are you?
Why do you have to say everything twice? if you guys don't know, Jack says like everything three times. Like anytime he sends anything or does anything, he has to say it like three times in a row. It's really weird.
It's effective.
This is true. We get to hear you three times and we actually get what you're saying. So
yeah, sometimes it takes a little while to understand what I'm saying, you know?
You have one of those good. You have like a very clear voice, though. Like you have like a you have like a made for radio voice. I think.
Sometimes I try to, like right now, I'm trying to talk more clear than I usually do.
Yeah.
Other times, like I'm a little tired right now, and if I was just talking to you normally, I'd probably be like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you do that a lot too.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's just get right into our reviews this week. The first review is the Silverstone Fortress FT04 case. This is actually a really cool case. It's been out for a while, but Silverstone sent it over to us. And one thing that's really cool about it, it's reverse ATX. So typically, you know, you have your power supply mounted on the bottom of the case, and then, of course, your motherboard. This way, it's kind of switched around where you actually have the power supply at the top and the motherboard is actually reversed. Obviously, that's why I call it reverse ATX. It's one of the higher-end Silverstone cases as well. So really great craftsmanship, all-around good design. Has a big window that's obviously going to show off everything inside as well. We really, really liked it. One of the better cases that we reviewed lately. Definitely one of the better cases.
And this thing's pretty cool. I have a problem with reverse ATX, though, because every computer in the entire world always had power supply on top until, like, enthusiasts were like, hey, we want the bottom to help with heat, and then, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. this is standard for 10 years ago.
Well, no, because the motherboard's actually flipped, too.
Okay, so we should call it flip. We should call it flip, then. Like, a little flip, you know, game over. but no, overall, it's a nice case. I like the side, I like the front, the whole thing looks... It's like steel, too, right?
Yeah, it's really well made. You know, a lot of companies have been coming out with these kind of really cheap design cases. And Silverstone's one that we have seen some of the cheaper cases, but this is one of the ones that they've really put the quality into, and you can really tell by the case. I mean, just looking at it, you can tell it's a really good case. And yeah. I am a fan of the reverse ATX, even though Jack doesn't like it.
I just don't like the word. I don't like the terminology. It's called a flip.
Well, the thing is, the reason it's called reverse ATX is because the motherboard is actually flipped over. So, on the older cases that we've seen before, you would have the power supply at the top, and then you would have, you know, your motherboard down the rest of the case, in the typical orientation. This is reversed orientation. If that makes sense. So that's why they call it reverse.
I'm called flip.
But anyways, definitely check that out. Again, it's one of the better cases that we have reviewed this year so far. I really, really liked it, so definitely check that out. And I took a look at a really cool gaming gear combo from TTE Sports. The reason I really like this is, one, it's only $30, and you're getting both a keyboard and a mouse at that price. So this is their Commander gaming gear combo. And again, it's not these, you know, a lot of times we review the higher end gaming products, you know, $150 keyboards, $100 mice, things like that. This is not that at all. This is kind of not bare bones, but this is sort of just the entry level. Will get you into a really cool looking keyboard and mouse that does have gaming features built into both products, but it's not the high end. There's no mechanical switches in the keyboard. There's no really high end switches in the mouse. The mouse is optical, not laser, things like that. But for $30, I really don't think you're going wrong with this. Both the keyboard and mouse light up. Of course, people like that. So if you're just sort of a beginner and you don't have a lot of money, obviously this is something that's going to save you a lot of money. And the thing is, too, is even if you do have the money, you know, this is going to save you a couple hundred dollars that you could put towards a higher-end graphics card, which that's obviously going to be more important, especially with high-end games and things like that. That's going to be more important than, obviously, your gaming accessories. So yeah, for $30, it really can't go wrong. I gave it a good value award because there's not many keyboard and mice combo that works pretty well, and you know, I gamed on this, and it wasn't a horrible experience, what you would expect for something of this price range. So really liked
it. It's something. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's just something you could just pick up, though. Like, oh, I need an extra set, a keyboard mouse set. It's just simple, cheap, so it's like I could bring this with me if I'm going somewhere. I don't really care if it breaks because it's $30. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it holds up well.
And so. It does have a 2-year warranty too. So again, $30, if it breaks, you just get it replaced. You know what I mean?
That's legit.
Yeah, so really can't go wrong. Good to see this too, because a lot of people are getting into gaming, and they're not high-end gamers. They're playing games like Dota and League of Legends that doesn't require a lot of PC horsepower, so they're not spending a lot of money anyways. And to, you know, get the gaming products that are kind of lower price is something we haven't really seen because of the popularity of gaming. The prices seem to be going up. So having something just low cost is really, really good, I feel. And I really liked it.
Definitely. I support.
Yes. And then our final review of the week is another great product. This is the Corsair HX1200i 1200 watt power supply. So Corsair's HX series is their second highest power supply series behind their AX series, which is the really high-end professional. So this is the HXi series, which is all intelligent, which means that the power supply actually has a USB connection that you connect to your motherboard, and you can monitor everything. You can change certain settings, all That's of cool. that. So this is the highest wattage unit in the HXi line, so 1200 watts. So that's going to cover pretty much any real system these days, unless you're doing something really crazy. 1200 watts will get you, you know, dual and quad graphics cards, all that kind of stuff. It's completely modular, so you only use the cables that you do need. It has a flat cable design. The cooling fan on it is zero RPM fan. What that means is that when you turn the unit on, the fan actually won't spin up unless the power supply gets to a certain temperature. So if you're not doing anything, you know, you're just kind of browsing around Windows, you won't have that extra noise and that extra power draw of that fan. It will only turn on when you're doing high intensive tasks that you're doing with the power. Yes, that you're doing with the power supply. So it's really great. And of course, being an intelligent power supply, it works with Corsair's Link software, which also works with other Corsair products like their all-in-one coolers and their memory and all that other stuff. So you can kind of get everything together in one really cool program and kind of monitor and change settings and do all that. So this is one of the best power supplies that I've reviewed in general. I gave it a 10 out of 10 and our Editor's Choice Award because it's just awesome.
And it's 80 plus platinum.
Yes, 80 plus platinum, which is becoming the standard for really high-end power supplies. You know, we've seen It could just go up and up, and platinum is kind of what all the high-end units are getting now. So very great power supply. It is more. It has a price premium on it, but as I always say, you're getting what you pay for, and this is a really great power supply, and it has a 7-year warranty. So most of the time we see 5-year. So 7 years, I mean, think of 7 years ago in the PC that you had. You probably don't have that same PC. So yeah, this thing's going to last a very long time, and it's great. Voltage regulation is great on it as well. It's just a really, really great unit. So
that looks cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
check out
you pretty much covered everything, so I don't have much to say, but
This is a product I really liked. You know, power supplies can be very boring because they're a power supply. But just being that it links up with Corsair Link, and then you have the zero RPM fan, and it's just a great all-around power supply, so I really like it.
The intelligent stuff is pretty cool. It looks like it also shows RPM for your video card fan, stuff like that, too.
Oh, yeah, so that's all
not spinning.
That's all built into Corsair Link. So Corsair Link is pretty much it's software that Corsair came out with to work with their products, but it also monitors any other sensor that's in your PC that's like a public sensor, like the sensors on your motherboard, in your graphics card, anything that can be read, Corsair Link will read. So when you bring it up, I have screenshots in this review that shows you all of the different things that you can monitor and you can see. And I used it in a system that I actually had a Corsair H80i in there, and with that I can also change the pump speed and monitor the fan speeds on that as well. It's actually really cool.
That's really awesome.
So yeah, definitely check out that review if you're interested in a new power supply. Very, very awesome one at that. And then we'll move on to our other things that we kind of did this week that weren't reviews. The first thing, of course, is Case Mod Friday. That's each Friday we go in and we check out a review or check. I'm not with it today.
There's a product called Brain Gear. It's supposed to like rejuvenate your brain. I think you need some of that.
I need something, but yeah. You should probably talk about all this because I'm just not with it right now.
So Case Mod Friday, it's a Vault Boy case, so it's, you know, Fallout based. It actually looks really awesome. The blue and yellow color scheme is incredibly cool. It looks like there's white LEDs inside too that accent the whole thing. I mean, it gives it a whole different look. You know, usually people match LEDs with the colors of the case. But looks like this one has white in it, and I think that's really awesome. It gives a different feel than what most cases do.
Yeah. So back to what I was supposed to say is that Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we highlight a case mod that's been completed in the community, and we really just like to highlight the skills of people that are out there who are doing these case mods that really just help the PC community in general. It really kind of shows what you can do with different components, and this one is done in the BitPhoenix Prodigy, which is one of the most popular cases, I would say, of last year. And as Jack said, this one's based off of the game series Fallout. We've seen a ton of Fallout games, and this one's kind of themed after that. Awesome. But it's not like a total theme, as we saw last week, where the case was actually designed to be part of the existing ecosystem of the game. This is sort of, it has the Fallout colors, it has the Fallout logos, but then the PC part of it is actually just, you know, just a really well done cooling system and all that. I kind of like that about
it. Like a Vault Boy decal on the reservoir.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely a really good mod. And it's not often, these colors are very popular, I feel, but it's not often we see a lot of case mods with these colors because the yellow is extremely vibrant, especially with that dark blue. It's not something we typically see. It's done really, really well. Attention to detail is great. He's done a great job painting everything. And the liquid cooling system's all, it's in a custom loop. And it's good to see people do this in a smaller case because the Prodigy isn't the largest case out there. So getting a, you know, custom water cooling loop in there isn't the easiest thing. And he's done a really great job. So
yeah, it looks amazing. Like I would definitely, if this were for sale, like as a retail unit, I'd buy one, even though I never play Fallout. I realize it's there.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So definitely check that out. And we do have a whole section, as I said. So if you're maybe looking for some inspiration or maybe you're trying to see what you can do, we have a whole section of Case Mod Friday build, so you can go ahead and check all that out. And hopefully I won't mess up the rest of this podcast.
And you can submit your own, too. If you got something you want up on the site, submit it.
Yeah, we have a whole page on the site where you can submit your case mod and all of that. So we're really big into case modding. If this is your first time listening to podcasts, we love case mods. We love, you know, the case mod community. Yeah, definitely check out that section of the site. And again, if you do have one, go ahead and submit it, and we'll get it up for you.
And we love you, too. We love everything.
So we'll move on to our most popular article each month. If this is your first time coming and listening to the podcast or even coming to the site, we have a article we do once a month called 20 of the Worst PC Setups, where we go out and we go on Reddit and different places, or we actually have you can actually submit them to us on our Facebook as well, just horrible PC setups. So if you're just a dirty person and you don't know how to clean your desk off or something like that, or you're in the process of moving and your desk is a box, things like that. So we do a post where we highlight 20 of those for the previous month, and we just put our one up for June, and there's some pretty bad ones in here.
The streaming one's really funny. He has like the mic, has a cutout in the box. So I'll let you explain it. You like explaining. But I'll fill in once you get there. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the one Jack is talking about is actually the first one on the page. And this guy has two boxes where he uses the stream. And it looks like he has a camera on the top of the box. And then the second box is where his laptop is. And he has a hole cut out in the box to hold his microphone. It's actually really funny.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's just funny things like this, because I'm sure if you've moved and you're a PC person, especially like a desktop PC person, we need to be sitting down and you don't have a desk yet, or you haven't set up your desk or something like that. You kind of set up.
You just, didn't buy a desk.
Yeah, or you didn't buy a desk, you know, or something breaks and you're using something that's old or something like that. These are just really fun to see. And again, we highlight 20 of these, and some of them are just horrible. Some of them you feel bad for people. Some people you feel like they need to get their act together and learn to clean, you know? So yeah, so we have, you know, 20 of those to check out. It's kind of really funny each month. And this is one of our most popular articles each month. So if there's one thing that you check out from this podcast, go ahead and check out this article. You'll get a few laughs at it, and you'll probably feel better about your PC setup looking at a lot of these.
Yeah. Some of these are pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah. So definitely go ahead and check that out. We'll move right into news, and it's kind of been a slow week for news, especially in the PC hardware space, just for the fact that we had all the launches the last 2 weeks, and it's kind of the in-between time, I feel.
In the meantime, it's in-between time.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you work your thing, I work mine. JD.
So, all right. So yeah, not a whole lot of news, but we have some things. So we'll start out with graphics cards. There were two really higher-end GTX 980 Ti cards to come out this week. So if you're looking to get a new graphics card and you're waiting for the custom versions of the GTX 980 Ti, the first one is pretty much the highest clocked air-cooled card out there. Just came out this week. It is the Zotac GeForce GTX 980 Ti Amp Extreme, and it comes with a factory overclock of 1,253 megahertz core with a GPU boost up to 1355 megahertz. And this is one of the only ones that where the memory is actually overclocked as well. So the memory is up to 7220 megahertz, that's GDDR5 effective. So that's a massive overclock compared to the reference speeds. It is a triple slot card. Yeah. So it's one of the bigger ones. So you want to make sure you have the room in your case. So it takes up three slots. It's a very, very big card, because they need that beefy cooling solution to cool the overclocked GPU and memory as well. This one comes in at $700, and it's pretty nice looking card. It has a pretty cool backplate on it as well.
Yeah, the backplate's really cool.
Yeah. So this is, again, one of the highest clocked cards out there. So if you're looking to get pretty much the highest performance from a factory overclock card, this is one of the ones to get. And the second card comes from EVGA, and it is their classified ACX 2.0 Plus. Doesn't have as high of clocks as the Zotac card. It has factory overclocks of 1190 megahertz core, and it boosts up to 1291. Still, that's a great factory overclock. It has the classified ACX 2.0 Plus cooling solution, which is really good. A lot of people like these EVGA cards because they are kind of sleek, and they're more not as flashy design. They're more like I don't know what you want to call it. Just really kind of just
simple.
Yeah, just simple, kind of like sleek. Like it had like the cooler has sort of a matte black design on it. A lot of people really like that. These look really great in your system as well. This is the highest clocked card from EVGA, highest clocked GTX 980 Ti from EVGA until their Kingpin edition comes out, and we're not sure when that one will come out. This card is also $700. So around the $700 range, you'll have a lot of choices from 980 Ti's that are the aftermarket ones that have the aftermarket coolers, factory overclocks, and all of that. So these two are the kind of the two big ones that came out this week. Definitely would like a few of these in my system for sure. So we'll move on from that to some NVIDIA news. So obviously, a couple weeks ago, we had the 980 Ti launch, and now NVIDIA is said to be working on their lower-end cards. So we haven't really seen an update from NVIDIA on their lower-end cards for a while now, since last year. You know, that's when Maxwell first came out, and that's when we first saw these cards. So it looks like they're going to be working on a 950 Ti and a 950 GTX models. So these should be based on sort of a broken down or cut down GM 206 GPU. That's the same GPU. Well, the full version of that GPU is the same one that's in the GeForce GTX 960. And they'll have 2 gigabytes of RAM and all of that. So if you're looking for, you know, $100 to $150 range, these new cards will be great. Of course, being Maxwell architecture, you know, going to be very low power and pretty high performance. So, you know, with AMD, they came out with their R7-300 products recently. This will be kind of to combat the lower end. And so NVIDIA obviously is fighting back on that lower end where people aren't really spending a lot of money on their graphics cards. Be cool to see. No, you know, the information just came out, so we have no real information of when these cards might be available and any other information. We just kind of have that they're kind of in the works, and that's basically it. But it's cool to see. It's always good to see competition, even at the low end, you know, giving you a lot more choice.
Yeah.
So, yes. Now we'll move on to the AMD side of things. So the Fury X came out, and somebody got a hold of four of them. And he's actually an AMD technical support engineer. So he was doing a lot of testing with the cards, and he actually tested four-way crossfire. And that's something that we really haven't seen with these cards, because the limited availability of them, not only for people buying them, but even for review units, a lot of the higher end sites only got one card. A couple got two, but not really. And nobody that I know of got four. So it's really cool to see four cards in crossfire working together and what they could really do. And the thing that was more interesting, I know it's pretty awesome to have four of these cards in the system, but the thing that was really cool about this was to show the scaling. So how much performance are you going to get from one card to two cards to three cards, and three cards to four cards. And we have all that in our article that we have up. It's just really cool to see that. Obviously, you know, that's so much power in such a, you know, and four cards with anything is a lot of power, but it's really cool to see how they scale. Yeah. And there's a couple pictures that he posted of just the cards lit up with a Radeon logo and all that. Just was really, really awesome inside of a system. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And check out the scaling. I think that's the coolest thing. So you can see how the cards actually scale. Again, going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and 3 to 4. I thought that was the most interesting thing about that. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And one thing about the Fury X that a lot of reviewers actually talked about, it wasn't really talked about, like there wasn't a lot of articles on it, but every review that I read, almost all of the reviewers pointed out that the card itself actually made some noise. It made a really high-pitched noise that wasn't...
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, that wasn't really... Yeah. It's not a normal thing you have in graphics cards, and it turns out it's actually the pump design that was on the card, and it seems that AMD has already fixed this problem, is already shipping new cards with the revised pump block design. But there's really no way to tell which ones. Like if you go out to the store and you're just buying, you know, you're buying the card, you don't know until you really take it home and take off the front plate to really see which one is the revised. That has a revised pump block. So the biggest thing is that I feel this is going to lead to a lot of RMAs, because nobody wants a noisy system. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Do you think some people kind of flip out, think it's louder, or like, oh, I got one of the loud ones without actually like expecting it, and then be like, oh, I'm sending this back?
They could. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that you don't void your warranty if you take off the front plate of the card.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, someone's going to buy it and not know how to do it, or just be like, oh, this is broken. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, the newer ones will, they're not going to have this noise problem, apparently. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. So, well, I mean, there's going to be, like, a noise in somebody's computer and they're going to flip out.
Oh, yeah. You could do that. You know, I've actually never RMA'd a graphics card, so I don't even know how that process works.
Yeah.
But I feel that if a lot of the first gen ones that came out that people have, I think there's going to be a lot of RMAs to come out of this.
Yeah,
just for the fact that nobody wants this. And I don't know what AMD is going to do, if they're going to repurpose, take the old ones and...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because from...
Put a new block on it.
Yeah, from what we know, there's already not a whole lot of these cards out there. That, you know, a lot of reports say there's only 30,000 of these cards in circulation until the end of the year, which isn't a lot for a worldwide distribution anyways.
Not at all. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see. I feel we're going to see a lot of RMAs out there. You know, I'd be pretty upset, especially if I was, you know, this was in a system that I had running 24/7. To hear that 24/7 would just be annoying.
Right. I'm sure AMD will do whatever it takes to fix it. Like, they can't afford... This is the bad situation. They can't afford to not fix it, but they also can't afford to fix it either. You know what I mean? If there's like tens of thousands of cards with this problem, that's going to cost them a lot of money to fix. But if they don't fix it, then the customer really hates them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're kind of in a bad situation here right now. Financially, their stock is really low.
yeah, it's been like that for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like it used to like go low a little bit and then go back up really quick and then go down a little bit and then up again. But recently, it's just been like at the lowest of the low.
Yeah, it's just, you know, this is another problem that AMD's had. It's good that they've kind of fixed it though already. I mean, this card officially has been out for a week, less than a week, so they've already fixed the issue. Apparently, because people have already received cards that have the new pump block design, so it's good that they fixed it. I don't know what they're actually doing. You know, there hasn't been an announcement by them or anything. I assume you can RMA the card. I mean,
I'm sure. They're going to fix it for you.
Yeah, so they're going to...
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so they're going to fix the card. The way you can actually tell the difference is if you open up the top of the card. Again, this doesn't void your warranty. You take the top plate off, and of course you can see the internals. And the old one that makes the noise has the old pump block design, has the Cooler Master logo on it in blue and white, and it's smaller. The logo's actually smaller. The newer ones have a Cooler Master logo on it that's bigger. And the Cooler Master logo has a chrome sort of design on it. So that will tell the difference. So if you do have a Fury X, just go ahead and open that top plate up and you can see which one you have.
Yep.
If you have an older one, it's just best to get a new one, I would feel. If you're not experiencing that issue, though, I don't see, you know.
Might as well just replace it, man. You never know. Like,
yeah,
you don't want warranty to expire, then like 2 days later,
yeah,
it starts happening. Yeah. You just get it replaced.
Yeah, just get it replaced if you can. And if you do get it replaced, let us know how the RMA goes, because I've never really done an RMA on a graphics card, which is really surprising to me. But
and there's pictures on the site of each.
Yeah, we have pictures on the site of each, what the block design looks like on each one. So if you're not really sure, just go ahead and we'll have this all in the show notes, but go on the page and you can kind of see, you know, what they look like and make sure that you have the right one.
Definitely.
Yes. So that is it for hardware news. Not a whole lot of hardware news this week, but we'll move on to some pretty cool gaming news. The first thing is that the Star Wars Battlefront PC closed alpha is going on, which I didn't get into, which I was kind of upset about, because I've been following this game since it's been announced. I love Star Wars, and just playing any Star Wars game is fun. I played pretty much all the Star Wars games for PC for like the past, I don't know how many years, for a long time.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Star Wars is just awesome. So the closed alpha is going on, and gameplay has been leaked. I'm not sure if the videos are still
they're gone.
They're gone already. Yeah. And we put this up. Yeah. We put this up today. So the videos are gone, but I did watch them. I don't know if you had time to watch them today.
I didn't see them. No.
So the videos that were up did show the alpha gameplay, which looks really awesome. It looks. A lot of people said this about the E3 footage too. It looks like Battlefield 3 with a Star Wars skin, the kind of gameplay feel. And to me, that's fine, because Battlefield 4 with a Star Wars skin, and Battlefield 4 plays perfectly on PC. The mechanics of the game and how everything works is great.
Yeah.
So just putting Star Wars on top of that. And of course, the thing about Star Wars Battlefront is that it totally follows the movies. All of the battles and missions and everything follow the movies completely. So to put you in that universe, nothing new, nothing you have to kind of follow. You know the battles, you know everything, and having that with the game mechanics of Battlefield 4, it works perfectly for me.
Yeah, I thought E3 demos looked pretty good. Like, I don't know if I would get it, just because I don't really play Star Wars games, but I was like, dude, Star Wars fans are probably going to love this game because it looks amazing.
Yeah, and the thing is that we haven't really had a really great Star Wars game for a while. You know, and when in the Star Wars universe, having they showed 40-player multiplayer at E3. I mean, having that many people in a map playing is just... I mean, you saw how popular that got with the Battlefield series anyways. You know, the 64-player multiplayer is just crazy. And... having that in the Star Wars universe is just awesome. Playing some of the, you know, you can just, you, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know all the crazy battles and everything like that. So having that, I feel, is just awesome. So I guess you can't see this gameplay footage. Maybe it was somewhere else. You'll probably see a lot of these leaks come out because people are playing the alpha. You know, and you're not really supposed to leak any of this. but people are. There was
people don't care, man. Yeah. They don't care MDAs. Like, they don't. It doesn't matter to some people, you know. So
yeah. So there was some on YouTube that were already taken down when I did the post, and then the ones I posted were on I forget the site. What's another video sharing site? I forget.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, but it was on another one, and those have been taken down now too. So if we find some more, we'll put them up before they hopefully get taken down again. but yeah, this is one of the games that I know Derek and I talked about getting it. I'll probably get it when it comes out, just because I love Star Wars and I need a new game to take some of my time. So.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so definitely. Definitely follow that if you're into Star Wars. And we'll talk about another disastrous game for PC. Is Batman Arkham Knight. We talked about it last week on the podcast. We've been talking about it for a while. The launch was just horrible. One of the worst PC launches for a AAA title that I've seen in a while. We talked about it last week. I don't want to go into detail, but pretty much a lot of people just asked for refunds because the game was so bad. Performance issues, all different kinds of bugs, and everything like that. And this week, Rocksteady released the first patch for the PC version, which seemed pretty quick for a patch already, which is good because they knew they had all these issues. And this patch doesn't fix all of the issues. It fixes a few, like three or four pretty much bugs that cause crashes or different problems with the game they fixed. Still, there's gonna be a lot of patches coming down the line, but it's good to see them kind of come out and fix this right away, or at least start on it. You know, they can release these patches, you know, one a week or something like that to get these out of the way, instead of waiting a month maybe and then finally getting a patch. There's a lot of people that bought this game that didn't return it through Steam, so they still have it. So they definitely want it to perform better than it probably is. So it's good, just good to see them kind of come out with it. And hopefully we'll see these patches maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, something like that, to kind of make PC gamers happy.
Yeah, I think Rocksteady is going to take care of that pretty quick. So, or as quick as they can.
Yeah, as quick as they can. I mean, a game of this size and everything like that, it's going to take some time. They've already delayed the relaunch of the PC game till fall. So, again, if you don't have it, you can't get it right now because the PC sales were suspended. But if you did buy it and still have it, you expect to see a lot of patches come out between now and fall to fix everything. So,
yep.
So yeah, and our last piece of news does have to do with PC gaming and more or less esports is the esports betting site Unicorn was launched. I forget when it was launched. We covered it. Maybe a couple months ago or something like that. But it closes they just closed their Series A funding. So they've raised a lot of money. They already raised $10 million, and then on top of that, they raised an additional. So I can't talk today, man.
That's all right. I still understand you. I get it.
They raised an additional $7 million. From investors like Jonathan Teo and Justin Kelbeck of Binary Capital. Binary Capital invested in Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, you know, TaskRabbit, a lot of very successful companies. So what Unicorn is, it's a betting site for esports. So different esports matches and tournaments and things like that you can actually bet on and, of course, win money. And things like that. I think them raising the money, especially from who they raised it from and all of that, I think this really legitimate, I can't even talk. It really makes this sort of a legitimate thing. You know what I mean? Where, you know, we've seen obviously sports betting and things like that have been around for the longest time. But esports, you know, over the past couple years, esports have become a real sport for a lot of countries and a lot of people. You know, playing a video game as a sport or considered a sport has really become a real thing. I mean, there's people making millions of dollars a year from playing video games, whether it's streaming or tournament winnings or things like that. And now having a betting platform on that is kind of interesting. And I think, you know, I know you, when, every time we go to Vegas, you always bet on some sports. Would you ever bet on esports?
If I follow it, sure. Like, because, you know, sports betting, you know something about the teams playing, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd have to know something about the players playing. So I guess it just depends how big it gets, because I don't think I'm going to go on my own and search it out and be like, oh, or like watch it on my own. So it's going to have to be big enough where I kind of hear about it. Like, oh, this team has won 10 times whatever they've won. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or this person is really crushing it out of whatever. Then I'll be like, then I'll watch a few videos of that team or that person. I'll be like, okay, I believe in, like, this person's really good. You know what I mean? And then if I'm in Vegas, I'll be like, yeah, I'll put $20 on this person or this team or whatever, or, you know, whatever's going on. So,
I mean,
why not? Money's money.
And the thing is, too, is a lot of people don't realize, especially, it's not as big in the United States unless you really follow it. But in other countries, especially League of Legends and games like that are just massive. The press release they sent out says, according to ESPN, 27 million people tuned in to watch the 2014 finals of League of Legends World Championship. That was televised on ESPN. That was more than the NBA finals, which only had 18 million people.
And World Series was 23.5.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's more than the highest ranked sports events, really, besides the Super Bowl. You know, that's just that it's so big now. I guess you could kind of see this coming out, you know. I would think that, you know, big events like the World Championships and stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, I'll put $20 on this or whatever. I think it's just cool, and it's cool because it's something that I think we as fans of PC gaming can kind of relate to, really, you know what I mean? And we kind of can follow these esports players a lot easier than I feel than obviously real sports teams or something like that. You know, with social media and the streaming on Twitch and everything like that.
Right.
It allows people to kind of relate more to these esports players because we can all do what they do.
I don't know. You may not be able to do what they do,
but you can play the same game.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can understand
it
more.
It's easier to connect to it. Yeah, it's easier to connect to because they're on the same areas you're in. It's not like I got to be on the baseball field and then whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, it's right here. It's right in front of you. It's at your fingertips. It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your tablet. It's on whatever device you want, and you can keep up with these people anywhere you go.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. Be interested in seeing how well it goes. You know, maybe sometime we're in Vegas and we go to the sports bet and there's esports being shown. That'd be kind of crazy. Hey.
Instead of hitting the club with Fatality, we're going to go to the sports book and make some bets.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, something like that, you know? So, yeah, it's really, really cool. It's good to see it. When it was first launched a few months ago, it was kind of like, okay, is this actually going to work? But now that they've raised that money, especially from who they raised it for, again, I just think that it's here to stay, and we'll just see how popular it gets as it goes along. So that pretty much rounds out our news for the week. Sorry, guys, not a whole lot of hardware-related news. Hopefully next week we'll have some pretty cool stuff. And talking about next week, we'll go into our reviews that we have coming up. I know I said I'd have it done this week, but I had a lot of issues with the processor and the motherboard that I was using. So next week I will have my review of the Intel Core i7-5775C. That's a Broadwell-based processor. Very good with power. It has the integrated Iris graphics too. So if you're like, you know, doing like an all-in-one PC where you want the graphics on the chip, you don't want a dedicated graphics card, this is going to be one of the better chips for that. Of course, I'll go into all of that in my full review next week. Derek will be taking a look at the Deepcool Captain 240, which is their 240mm liquid CPU cooler. The Captain series is actually pretty cool. It looks really great. I haven't talked to Derek about the specifics of testing yet, so I really don't know how it performs. But it's good to see companies kind of branch out into water cooling, so we'll see how that goes for him. And then I will be reviewing the Lianli PCT80 test bench, which I actually went out and bought because I needed a new test bench. I was building a new graphics card test rig, and I needed a new test bench. And there was a couple options, and I decided to go for the Lianli because I haven't had a Lianli case in a while, and I've always liked their craftsmanship, and it just looked awesome. And it supports all-in-one water cooling units, which I'm using to cool the CPU on the test system. So I'll have that for you next week as well. I might have some other stuff. It all depends on how much work we get done this weekend and going into next week.
Oh, this weekend's, you know, it's holiday weekend, man.
Yeah, so I don't know how much stuff's going to get done this weekend because it is July 4th. And then at the end of each podcast, we always like to talk about some things that we did. Obviously, me, I was testing processors, and I did build a test bench, which was actually pretty cool. Because with the Li and Li, the PCT80, it comes in pieces. It doesn't come assembled, so you actually have to assemble it yourself. So that was kind of fun. It took me about, I would say, like a half an hour to get it assembled, and then maybe like another 25 minutes to get the system in there correctly and all of that. So that's kind of what I did this week. I also played some Payday 2, which Jack and I used to play a lot of. And I don't know if it was this week or last week, or within the last couple of weeks, they released a new mission, which is, I forget what it's called, but it's based in a casino, which is actually kind of fun.
Is that a, like, you have to pay, or is it free?
It's free. Well,
okay, cool.
I know you can, it's just like all the ones that you can kind of join game. You can join somebody's game if they have it.
But if you want to start it, then...
Yeah, I'm not really sure, because I just saw it, okay. And then I went on, and I played it, and it's very hard.
Everything in Payday is really
hard. No, it's not. I'm awesome at Payday.
Yeah, right. This guy, don't get started, man. Every Payday mission is pretty difficult.
Yeah, so this one's...
unless everybody's cooperating.
I haven't completed it because I was busy testing processors and stuff. The two times I played it, you go in and obviously you have to clear out the casino and then you have to get the control room and undo the security. And then there's like a vault that's under the casino. Sort of like in, was it Oceans? What Oceans was that?
I think it was 11. It was the first one, wasn't it? When they robbed Bellagio?
Yeah. So it's like that, sort of. But you have to kind of, instead of actually just going down, you have to kind of get this big drill in there that has to be taken in by helicopter.
No more drills, guys. And then and a helicopter drill. No.
It has to come down. And the thing is, I guess, you have to keep the police off of it, because if they shut it down, the mission's over, I guess. So it's very hard. It's a lot of fun, though. I'll probably play it maybe after we're done with this podcast, because I feel like killing some people. What did you do anything cool this week besides work?
Not really. I rode my bike a lot, which is nothing to do with tech stuff.
Oh, wait, you were showing me tech stuff today. You were showing me the, somebody at your
Amazon Echo.
Yeah. Somebody at your work had an Amazon Echo. So tell us about that. Amazon Echo you could get it for a couple months, but you had to like be selected.
Right. You had to request an invitation before.
Yeah.
Which I thought was silly, because you request an invitation, and then if they accepted you into the program, you still had to buy it. I'm thinking, like, you should give it to me for free. I'm, like, being invited. Anyway, it started out, I think, being $100, and then it went to $150 or something, and then they released it, I believe, last week to everybody, but now it's $180. I think it's $179.
Really? Yeah, because I remember it was, like, $119 or something like that last time I checked.
Yeah, they kept raising it, and it kept going up, and now it's released to everybody for $179. So... The guy who bought it at my work, he got in just be like the week before it was released, he got it for $150 or whatever. He got his invitation and bought it. But it's all right. It's pretty cool. It doesn't do too many things. So like if you ask it a question it doesn't know the answer to, it just says like, I don't know what you're asking me. Like, I don't understand the question that I heard is pretty much what it says.
So I mean, for people that don't know, it's an internet connected voice controlled speaker, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It also doubles as a Bluetooth speaker.
Okay.
So if you wanted to just play music over over Bluetooth, you could do that. And you can also say, like, hey, its default name is Alexa. You can change the name to Amazon.
I was wondering if you could change the name, because when you were sending me videos today of it, I wasn't really sure what you could do.
It's either Alexa or Amazon.
So you can't change. You can't be like Bob. You can't name it Bob.
You can't be like, hey, Bob.
Yeah, that's horrible. You know?
Yeah, so it's Alexa or Amazon. Those are your two options. And so you can say, like, if you're Bluetoothing your audio or whatever, you say, Alexa, pause, and it'll pause your music. Or Alexa, raise the volume, it'll do that. You could also say, we use it more for music than anything else, because that's pretty much the best thing it does.
How's the music quality? Because it's just a single speaker.
It's designed really well, so it can get pretty loud. It distorts a little bit when you have it up all the way, but I mean, all the way is going to be loud enough for the average home or apartment or condo.
Yeah.
Other cool things it does, it also does connected home. So I have like a Belkin Wemo Insight switch that I just got for whatever years ago, you know what I mean? and that you can link it up to control that.
Okay.
So you can say, like, you say, Alexa, turn on my TV, and it'll flip the Belkin Wemo switch and turn on your TV, or turn on a light, or whatever
you
want.
Is that hard to set up?
No, it's super easy. So you just set up, Wemo like you would normally. So if you already have it set up, you're pretty much done. All you do, so there's a companion app on iOS.
Okay.
And I think there's also one on Android. So you open your companion app on your mobile device, you know, tablet or whatever. And after you do that, then you can say, like, connected home and search for the device you're looking for. And you can give it a name and all that stuff. And then, so whatever name you give it is what Alexa will understand it as.
Oh, cool. So, that's kind of cool.
So, Alexa, turn on my bedroom light, you know, and it'll
turn. So it does have extra functionality. I kind of like that. I like the whole connected home idea.
Yeah, and it does weather and stuff. If you care about that, you can say, like, Alexa, what's the weather? And it'll be, oh, in San Diego, the current weather is this, and tomorrow you're expecting temperatures for this and that, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. I do like that. And then you're also messing with Windows 10 today. You were sending me stuff that I knew about for weeks. But the cool thing that you showed me about Windows 10, which I didn't really had, I haven't really had time to really mess with anything Windows 10, was the built-in Cortana virtual assistant stuff, where you could just talk to, obviously just talk to your PC. And how well does that work so far?
So yeah, Cortana is integrated now into Windows 10. I've had it on Windows Phone because I'm the only person in the world with a Windows
that
Phone.
That is true.
And I've had it a while. It works pretty cool. I like Cortana a lot. So this is an interesting place, right? So Windows 10 is coming out end of July, and it has Cortana. It's a digital assistant. And then you have like Amazon Echo, which we're just talking about, which is a very similar product. But Windows 10 is going to be free for anyone with Windows 7 or Windows 8. As long as it's not pirated, you know what I mean? You can still upgrade though and do all that. So what I'm getting at is, you know, anyone can add a simple, like right now we just have a little USB microphone hooked up to it, nothing special, you know, like a $10, $20 microphone, whatever it was. And it works fine. It works great, in fact. So why is someone going to spend money on, you know, Amazon Echo versus just using Cortana in Windows 10? Because Cortana is a lot more capable than Amazon Echo, at least at this point in time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think maybe that's the reason why Amazon kind of, it's now available for everybody.
It's available, yeah, probably to get people in, just so like, oh, I don't need to use Cortana, I'm okay with my Echo.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, yeah, but it's pretty cool. I mean, you say hey Cortana, and then whatever you want to do.
That's cool.
You know,
I'll have to check that out. I have, like I said, I have a laptop here with Windows 10 on it, but I just don't use it. It just sits here because I've just been so busy with other stuff over the past couple weeks. But
I'll
have to go ahead and check all that out. But that kind of wraps up for the podcast. We'll get out of everybody's hair here.
I broke a server. I broke a server too at work.
That's good.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't any review stuff. I think computers were happy about that.
No, well, I didn't like break it. I mean,
you didn't mark cool. Live break it.
No, I didn't like rage on it, and I mean it's a rack mount server. It's not something you can easily throw around, but software wise, it's pretty.
We should do something on the site called like hardware rage, where like each month we post like people like just computers and parts, and like oh, this is what I had to deal with today or something. I don't know.
Definitely, yeah.
But so everything from this week's podcast, we'll have our show notes page up where you can, you know, find links to everything that we talked about this week. And if you go on iTunes to find the podcast, all you have to do is type in Think Computers, all one word, and it will pop up. We also have, in the show notes, we'll have links to, you know, you can subscribe on Android and our XML feed for the podcast as well, in case you're weird like Jack and you don't have an Android or iPhone.
You know, you can subscribe. Okay. Oh, did you put your stuff on Windows Phone Podcast yet? You haven't done it yet?
No, because nobody uses Windows Phone.
Okay, well, how about this? Like, all that stuff, like, so the podcast app is going to be in Windows 10.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to, whenever I'll do it eventually.
Yeah,
but, just get it done. But, yeah, we'll have all of that. And all of our previous podcasts are on the podcast section of the site. Oh, and one more thing that I did want to point out is that we do have an Instagram account. I wasn't really updating it that much, but over the past few weeks, I've been updating it daily with not only the stuff we've been reviewing, but just kind of funny tech stuff and funny, you know, hardware-related stuff that I find out there. So you guys can go ahead and check that out. Until next week, catch you guys later. You good now?
Good for what?
I don't know, whatever he had to stop for.
Oh, yeah, my dad was just yelling at me. He wants me to order food.
Oh, well, fuck.
Like, you gotta wait, bro.
So
that's weird. I searched Think Computers on here, and it has it, computer hardware reviews, this week on our weekly tech podcast, but it's like, we can't open this result. It doesn't.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Wait, in iTunes?
On my Windows phone.
Oh, really? It's not in there. I didn't put it in there.
But somehow it kind of finds it.
It probably finds the XML feed.
Yeah, but whatever format it's in, this isn't. You may just have to alter your XML, and I think you'd probably be good.
Well, the XML is made for iTunes, so.
Yeah, well, just alter it. You can do both, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, that's what it looks like. Oh, I farted.
Yeah, that's it. Overclockers Club. Oh, I didn't know they had a podcast.
Yeah.
I think those aren't it, though. I don't know. Last day podcast.
That's it, dude. Podcast. I just can't do anything with it. Like, it's not tappable.
Oh, yeah.
Let's Stumble Upon is tappable, but I don't know who they are and what they have different. But we should check that out. Let me see. Is there a way to see their feed?
Hold on. Let me go grab my phone real quick. Hold on.
Okay. You should look at our podcast feed for Drool, because we sent it to the Windows people, but we sent them the same one that we send to, like, iTunes.
Yeah.
So, let me find it. I think this is it. Dude, and then compare it to yours, maybe.
These broads on Tinder are fucking hot.
I don't do Tinder, bro.
Why not? You don't want to get with a bot?
No.
I swear, like, every hot girl that I see, I'm like, she has to be fake, because I don't know her. I know every hot girl in Pittsburgh.
Maybe you don't. Maybe someone moved there. Maybe she, like, busy trying to get her money.
She ain't about. She knows about Bob TV. Don't worry.
Ain't nobody moved to Pittsburgh.
Actually, a lot of people are. What did you send me?
Just the XML for our thing, just to compare it to yours to see if there's any differences. It should work for both, though. So I'm saying.
I don't know what the fuck this is.
An XML.
I know, but what makes the
Look at that one.
What makes this feed?
PodPress.
What do I use? I use
CompPress.
It's the same thing.
CompPress. Yeah. Fat cunt.
Yeah, I use that too. Dude, I gotta edit this podcast now because you fucked it up.
All you gotta do is cut, like, 3 seconds out of it.
Do you want to cut it?
No, because then you gotta send it to me, then I gotta send it back to you. It's like not worth
it. It's like a 50 meg file.
That's not worth it.
Well, I'd rather have you cut it than me, because I don't have fucking. It's annoying.
What don't you have?
I use Audacity to cut it.
So what's wrong with Audacity?
It's just annoying to cut things. Like, when Derek and I do it, we don't mess up, and then it just
I didn't mess up. I just had to go.
Well, yeah, but I have to cut that out, obviously.
I usually leave some silence in there. 2 minutes of silence.
That's just annoying.
Well, put it on drive. It takes 3 seconds to cut a file. Even in Audacity, it takes 3 seconds to cut a file.
You're going
to
cut it for me?
I'm going to cut this dick.
Hold on, I'll call you right back then. Hold on.